Hey everyone, and welcome back for another deep dive. Today we're going to India, more specifically modern India, to explore the incredible journey of women from 1947 to the present.
Sounds fascinating.
It is. We've got a really cool mix of sources too. Everything from political analyses and architectural studies to pieces in Forbes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a lot. But they all paint a vivid picture of women's evolving roles and experiences. So we're going to try to uncover how women have navigated tradition and modernity to shape their own destinies in this amazing and vibrant nation.
You know what's really interesting to me is that we're not just looking at a single story, but a rich tapestry of experiences,
yeah.
You know, shaped by things like region, caste, and class.
Right. It's almost like trying to understand a whole universe within a single country. But let's start with the building blocks.
Okay.
India's independence in 1947 brought about a wave of huge reforms aimed at empowering women.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about the right to vote, inheritance rights. These were huge leaps forward.
Yeah.
They really solidified women's place in the newly formed nation, at least legally.
Absolutely. And it's important to remember that while these reforms were progressive, they weren't totally a clean break from the past. For example, the new constitution borrowed a lot from the Government of India Act of 1935. Hmm. Yeah, and it ensured a degree of continuity in the administrative structure.
So instead of a complete overhaul, it was more like building upon existing frameworks, kind of adapting them to the needs of an independent India.
Exactly. The Indian Civil Service, which was later renamed the Indian Administrative Service, remained a key institution. You know, it's often called the steel frame for its role in maintaining stability during this period of transition.
It's interesting, though, that despite all these progressive steps, the Constituent Assembly never really considered a more decentralized Gandhian model of governance focused on village-level empowerment. What do you think that says about the priorities of the newly formed government?
That's a really great point. It definitely suggests a leaning toward centralized power. It might reflect a desire for swift and unified nation building in the wake of independence. Now, whether this decision ultimately benefited or hindered women's progress in different communities is a question we should explore further.
Right. And it's all happening against the backdrop of a really uncertain economic landscape. Post-World War II, India had to deal with food shortages and inflation. Oh. It actually forced the government to become much more involved in managing the economy.
Yeah. And that economic context is crucial to understanding the challenges and opportunities women faced. I mean, think about it. Government intervention often leads to large-scale projects and initiatives.
Yeah.
You know, the ones that can create both new jobs and displace existing livelihoods.
And often impacting women disproportionately.
Exactly.
It's like a ripple effect where broad economic shifts end up reshaping the lives of individuals in ways you don't always expect.
Precisely. And this becomes even more clear when we think about the period of rapid modernization that followed independence. Just think about the massive urbanization that took place.
Oh, yeah.
Cities like Mumbai, Kolkata, and Delhi were completely overflowing with people who are migrating from rural areas.
Yeah, she had all these people seeking new opportunities, but also facing the challenges of adapting to a totally new way of life.
Yeah.
I bet that was especially tough for women coming from traditional rural communities.
It was. And then you have the introduction of new technologies. They promised progress, but didn't necessarily benefit everyone equally. Did they empower women across all social strata? Or did they sometimes exacerbate existing inequalities? These are big questions we have to consider.
It seems like this modernization paradox, the idea that progress can bring both benefits and unintended consequences, is a recurring theme throughout India's history.
It definitely is. And understanding this paradox is essential to fully grasping the complexities of women's experiences in modern India.
All right, so we've talked about political reforms, economic shifts, and the modernization wave. But now let's look at how these forces specifically impacted women's lives in the decades following independence.
Okay, so let's start by looking at how these large-scale changes played out on a personal level. For example, the huge number of people moving into urban centers created a demand for housing, leading to the emergence of new architectural forms and urban planning strategies.
And architecture isn't just about buildings, right? It reflects the social and cultural values of a society, too.
You got it. Now, consider the work of Catherine Asher.
Boy.
She's a scholar of Indian architecture. Her research shows that urban housing projects in post-independence India often struggled to meet the needs of women, especially those from lower socioeconomic backgrounds.
So even when you have these seemingly progressive initiatives, they're not always designed with a full understanding of the diverse needs of the population.
Yeah, and that leads to a crucial point. Acknowledging that women's experiences are different. Factors like region, religion, caste, and class all intersect to create unique challenges and opportunities.
So we can't talk about women in India as one big group. It's much more nuanced than that.
Exactly. And to really understand this, we need to look at the specific cultural and social transformations that shaped women's lives during this period.
Let's do that. Let's explore how education, religious movements, and evolving social norms influence the trajectory of women in modern India. Where should we begin?
Well, education is a great place to start. Access to education is often seen as a key indicator of empowerment. Post-independence, India saw a significant increase in educational opportunities for women. However, this expansion had some limitations.
Right. You had persistent disparities based on region, caste, and class. So while some women were breaking barriers and entering higher education, others were still struggling to even learn to read.
Exactly. And this uneven progress is something we see across various aspects of women's lives in modern India. It's a story of progress, but also of persistent inequalities and the need for continued efforts to ensure that the benefits of development reach all sections of society.
And it's not just about formal education either, right? Religious and philosophical movements also played a role in shaping women's roles and perceptions.
Absolutely. The Bhakti movement, for instance, it emphasized personal devotion and challenged rigid social hierarchies, and it offered women a new avenue for spiritual expression.
So in a way, it provided a space for women to find their own voice and agency within a religious context.
Exactly. It's fascinating to contrast the Bhakti movement with Vedic Brahmanism.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it had a more hierarchical structure and a different impact on women's lives.
It's like two totally different lenses for viewing the role of women in Indian society.
Precisely. And then you have the emergence of Kamal devotionalism. It focuses on deity worship and has connections to Puranic Hinduism. This also played a role in shaping women's religious experiences, offering them new ways to connect with the divine.
It's really amazing to see how these different philosophical threads intertwine, sometimes clashing, sometimes complementing each other. And they're all contributing to the rich tapestry of women's lives. But amidst these cultural and social shifts, women weren't just passively accepting their roles. Their voices were getting louder and more powerful, right?
Definitely. And we see this most clearly in their growing participation in the political sphere, which we can talk more about now.
This is getting really fascinating. So let's dive into that, the rise of women's voices in politics, literature, and the arts. This feels like a major turning point, a moment where women are stepping onto the center stage and demanding to be heard.
It really was a turning point. Think about the Indian National Congress, you know, a key player in the fight for independence. Women were so active. They were participating in protests, advocating for social reform, and really shaping the direction of the movement.
Yeah, their involvement wasn't always smooth sailing, though, was it? I mean, even with more political participation, there were still roadblocks and limitations.
Oh, you're totally right. Take the Morley-Minto reforms of 1909.
Okay.
While they aimed to increase Indian representation in government, they also introduced separate electorates. It was a system that really restricted women's voting rights.
So it's like taking a step forward and then tripping over your own feet. How did separate electorates even work, and why were they so bad for women's political agency?
Well, separate electorates basically meant that certain groups, including women, could only vote for candidates from their own designated constituencies. This really limited their choices and their ability to influence the broader political landscape. It's a perfect example of how seemingly well-intentioned reforms can have unintended consequences, especially when they don't fully consider the complexities of social dynamics.
It makes you realize that progress isn't always a straight line. It's more like navigating a winding path, encountering obstacles and detours along the way. But even with these challenges, women still found ways to make their voices heard, not just in politics, but also in literature and the arts.
For sure. Women writers, artists, and intellectuals were coming to the forefront, challenging societal norms and offering new perspectives on family life, national identity, all sorts of things. They used their creativity to amplify women's voices and reshape the narrative around their roles in society.
Yeah, the evolution of Bengali literature is a great example of this. I was reading Biju Chandra Mazumdar's work, The History of the Bengali Language, and it's so cool to see how women writers contributed to the development of this literary tradition.
Exactly. And it's not just Bengali literature. Across India, women were finding their voices, exploring themes that resonated with their lived experiences, and challenging the status quo. It's a reminder that the women's voice in India isn't just one thing, but a whole bunch of different perspectives shaped by language, region, caste, and a ton of other factors.
It's like a chorus of voices, each adding its own melody to the symphony of modern India. But let's move on to the present day. Women in India today are still navigating a complex landscape of both progress and persistent challenges. You have incredible advancements in education, entrepreneurship, and political representation, but you still have issues like gender inequality, violence against women, and economic disparities holding them back.
It's definitely a complicated picture. We can celebrate the amazing achievements of women who are breaking barriers and shattering glass ceilings. But at the same time, we can't ignore the deep-rooted inequalities that continue to hold many women back.
For example, the Green Revolution, which was supposed to increase food production in India, also had really uneven impacts across different regions and communities. Some studies, like the one in Detmar Rotherman's An Economic History of India, show how these disparities often affected women more than men, with women in certain areas bearing a heavier burden of the negative consequences.
It's a classic example of how even well-intentioned development initiatives can accidentally make existing inequalities worse if they're not implemented with a deep understanding of the social and economic dynamics at play. And this brings us back to the importance of intersectionality, recognizing how things like gender, caste, class, and region all come together to shape individual experiences.
So we can't just look at the overall trends. We need to zoom in and examine how these broader changes affect the everyday lives of women from different walks of life.
Precisely. And it's in those everyday stories that we find the true measure of resilience, strength, and adaptability. Think about the women who may not make headlines, but who are quietly changing their communities, raising families, and contributing to India's growth in so many ways. Their stories are just as important, just as inspiring as those of the high achievers we see in the spotlight.
It's a good reminder that empowerment isn't just about individual success stories. It's about making progress together, about creating a society where all women have the chance to reach their full potential. Speaking of empowerment, our sources also highlight the growing influence of women in contemporary Indian society. For instance, Forbes has published a bunch of articles on women in modern India, showcasing their achievements in business, technology, and other fields.
It's amazing to see how women are not just participating in these sectors, but actually shaping them, bringing their own perspectives and leadership styles to the table. They're challenging the old ideas of what it means to be a leader and making a path for future generations of women to follow.
It's like they're rewriting the script of success, proving that women can not only succeed in any field they choose, but also redefine what success even means. And as India continues to grow on the global stage, the contributions of women will definitely play a big role in shaping the nation's future.
Absolutely. India's rise as an economic and political power is tied to the empowerment of its women. Their voices, their ideas, their leadership are all super important for driving innovation, fostering inclusive growth, and tackling the complex challenges the nation is facing.
It's pretty incredible to think about everything women in India have gone through, from the fight for independence to the present day. They've navigated political and social changes, embraced modernization while dealing with its complexities, and emerged as a force to be reckoned with globally. Their story is a testament to resilience, adaptability, and a strong will to shape their own destinies.
And it's a story that's still being written. As India continues to evolve, the role of women will undoubtedly keep changing, pushing boundaries, challenging norms, and inspiring generations to come.
It's been a great journey so far, and I'm excited to see where it goes. But before we finish our deep dive, I think we should reflect on the bigger meaning of this story.
Yeah.
What lessons can we take from the experiences of women in modern India? What insights can we gain that might be helpful to other societies dealing with similar issues?
That's a great question. I think one of the key takeaways is how important intersectionality is. Recognizing that women aren't a single group, but a diverse group of individuals with unique experiences shaped by a multitude of factors. Any attempt to address gender inequality has to take these differences into account and make sure that solutions are tailored to the specific needs of different communities.
So it's not just about gender equality in a general sense. It's about making sure that every woman, no matter her background or circumstances, has the chance to thrive and reach her full potential.
Exactly. And another important lesson is the power of working together. Throughout history, women in India have come together to fight for their rights, challenge unfair practices, and create a fairer society. Their collective efforts have led to big changes, showing that change is possible when people come together for a common goal.
It's a powerful reminder that even when facing huge obstacles, working together can make a real difference. Their story is an inspiration, not just for women in India, but for anyone working towards a more just and equitable world. But before we wrap up completely, let's go back to something you mentioned earlier, the assassination of Mahatma Gandhi in 1948. It's a sad reminder that even when things are progressing, there are forces that want to destroy unity and harmony.
Gandhi's assassination, like it's described in William Dalrymple's The Last Mogul, was a terrible event for India, especially after the difficult partition. It highlighted the fact that peace is fragile and that there are still deep divisions in society.
It's a reminder that the journey towards a truly just and equitable society is ongoing, one that needs us to be aware and committed to the values of tolerance, compassion, and understanding.
And it's a journey that women in India are leading. Their voices, their perspectives, and their leadership are essential to dealing with the complexities of today and shaping a future where everyone has the opportunity to live with dignity and respect.
Their story is truly inspiring. It's a testament to the power of human resilience and the unwavering spirit of those who dream of a better world. Wow, this has been such an amazing journey exploring the world of women in modern India. It's so multifaceted. What really stands out to you from all of this?
You know, I think it's their resilience. It's incredible. They've gone through such huge changes politically, socially, economically, and they've come out of it as a real driving force in shaping modern India. And it's not over. Their story is still evolving.
Right. And as India becomes even more influential on the world stage, what can other societies learn from the experiences of its women? I mean, what can we all take away from their struggles and their triumphs?
I think one of the most important things we can learn is the idea of intersectionality. You know, how gender interacts with so many other things, caste, class, region, etc. It creates a really specific set of challenges for each woman. So we can't just apply the same solution to everyone.
It's not just about reaching some vague idea of gender equality then. It's about making sure that every single woman has the chance to thrive, no matter what her background is or what her specific situation is. That's a really nuanced approach that I think we could all learn from.
I agree. And we can't forget about the importance of collective action. Throughout history, women in India have made huge strides by working together. They've formed movements and spoken out for their rights, and they've changed things for the better. It shows us that when people come together for a shared purpose, they can make real change happen.
It's like even when you feel like you're up against impossible odds, working together can make a real difference. Their story is an inspiration not just for women in India, but for everyone around the world who's working for a more just and equitable world.
Definitely.
Well, this deep dive has really opened my eyes to the complexities and the incredible achievements of women in modern India. I feel like we've just scratched the surface, but wow, what an incredible surface it is.
Absolutely. There's always more to learn, right? That's what makes exploration so exciting. It makes us curious and encourages us to keep asking questions, keep learning, and keep making connections between the past, the present, and the future.
So to our listeners, we leave you with this. How do you think the changing role of women in India will affect its place in the world as its global influence continues to grow? What lessons can we all learn from their experiences, the tough times and the good times? Keep exploring, keep asking questions, and keep the conversation going.
And join us next time for another deep dive.